Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is October the 21st, 2015, more commonly known as Back to the Future Day.
Yep.
Garrett here.
The only time we get to say that.
That's right. After today, Back to the Future will occur entirely in the past.
Hey, we got lucky to do the podcast on this day.
That's right. Once again, Garrett here joined, obviously, with Brad and Wade.
Hello.
Obviously.
Naturally.
Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley.
I just called you Shirley. What are you going to do about it?
Go back in time and stop you from calling me.
How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Yeah?
Yep, pretty good here.
So how's you getting used to this whole not having to travel every week, all week?
So I am still having to travel every week, but it is not all week. And yes, I'm getting used to it, and it's rather nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, so Monday I flew up to St. Louis, had some meetings with a customer. It's a construction site, so we toured the construction, made sure they were on track with everything, and then flew home Tuesday.
Were you wearing your hard hat?
I was wearing my hard hat, yes.
Very good. And your respirator?
No, didn't need a respirator.
Depends on the level of construction, where they're at.
Yep. They're far enough along. Safety no first. Major dust right now. But we do still have to wear hard hats.
Yep. I've been in that situation with a hospital in Pennsylvania. And with Kaiser down in San Diego, if we were to go in there, it'd have to be full. You got to go through like a whole training deal on their etiquette and their procedures for construction zone. So.
Absolutely.
No walkthrough has happened down there yet as a result. very good. Cool. How was your weekend and week?
My weekend was fairly quiet, actually, for real this time. We went out with some friends, went bowling. That was kind of the major happenings.
Nice.
Wait. I think it was Sunday morning. I took the boys, took my kids out and gave my wonderful wife a little quiet time to herself, some time to think, and, not be bothered by three guys. So we spent most of Sunday morning, we went out for breakfast, and then we went and did manly things like, Home Depot.
Oh, yes.
Sat in the alley drinking beer going, yep.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Nice. Anything good at Home Depot or just the just some essentials?
One of the projects that we're working on, I pulled in a new electrical outlet. We have a dehumidifier running in the basement just to keep it dry. Mm-hmm. And I had it out in what is becoming the man cave. That fan and the heat from it was making it a little uncomfortable. So I ran a new electric outlet in the utility closet and moved that in. And then the rest of what we got was the plumbing to plumb in the drain for it. That has not taken place yet, but we do have the materials to do it.
Got it. So not fun stuff. Necessary stuff.
Necessary stuff.
Bob the Builder up in here.
Hey. Absolutely.
Always. Very cool. Wade, you got anything?
Well, we had another NSF meeting. This is actually, more stricter than the health inspector.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say we didn't do too well because managers did not decide to actually keep our temp logs for our walk-ins up to date.
Oops.
Yeah, so we failed. Great. And they kind of pulled all of us who were working today to the side and said, oh, don't let this discourage you. It's like, well, it wasn't our fault.
I'm not discouraged when management fails.
And I don't really get discouraged when things like this happen. I just really just see it as it's a test and the answer allows us to improve. No, sure, we failed. Oh, boo-hoo. Well, we know where we can do better now. So, we get to go in and hash out all that stuff tomorrow.
Nice. not so nice. I mean, obviously, with audits and inspections, it can get pretty pretty nasty and pretty scary at times. But
I've gone through so many of these and don't care anymore.
Well, you shouldn't have to. You as an employee shouldn't have to care. It's up to management to make sure the proper actions and processes are in place to ensure that there's not issues when an inspection happens to occur.
Well, so, I'm saying that's just the thing. It's for me, I know what to do, so when it happens, I'm calm and cool, collective. I don't care. The managers just seem to work themselves up into a frenzy.
Well, maybe they are more aware of potential consequences if something doesn't go well, and they have the idea that they know it's going to not go well. Yeah, it's on their head, but they still stress about it.
Well, but that's my point. You know, Wade doesn't need to worry about it because if anything's wrong, it's not his fault.
No, I'm not saying he should worry about it. I'm just saying the reason why they are is because.
Yep.
That's all. I'm not saying Wade needs to care more. I'm just saying the reason why they do is because of.
I'm not saying
I don't care.
I'm not apathetic at my job. I'm very. I do a lot of work, and it's just sometimes you just get, I guess, desensitized by the whole matter is what I'm saying.
Sure.
I don't care.
Well, I had kind of a, I mean, not hectic, but semi-worrisome latter part of last week. I don't know if I mentioned on the podcast last week that I chipped a portion of my tooth on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. You did.
Okay. So I went in, I got an appointment Thursday morning. I went in and my tooth actually had a fracture going down and it had an existing filling. So between the filling and whatever else, potentially bite force, potentially night grinding my teeth, the tooth had a fracture, and they said that I had to get a three-quarters inlay or something like that, where they essentially grind down a lot of the tooth, although the inner portion of the tooth, the side tongue side, was still good material that existed, and they made... It's essentially like a partial crown. So I went on Thursday. They put in a temporary deal so they could cast up the fixed one, and went in on Friday and they did that. And it's been sore lately. I've been taking some Tylenol and whatnot to help subside it, and it does help. So I don't know if it's just something that I'm going to get used to or whatnot. We'll see. I go back in next month for a scheduled appointment. And maybe they can look at it then again. Aside from that, the weekend was fairly calm. We ran some errands Saturday, the necessary junk, I suppose. And then Sunday, we went over and watched the Seahawks game, who are apparently developing a bit of a trend this season. They go into the fourth quarter with a lead and then give it away. So that's...
They get tired, man.
Well... You know, they get paid too much to get tired.
Well, someone needs to put them into endurance training.
No kidding. So that was a big disappointment. You know, going in and they're getting the lead and it's looking good. It's looking good. And the fourth quarter comes and then the defense just kind of rolls over and plays dead. So that's a big, big downer. Aside from that, just been hanging out. I laid up some fiberglass to replace some broken parts of the drone that I did, the landing gear. I haven't put those back on the drone yet, but they are cut out and mounted together as they should be. So it's just a matter of bolting them up. And that's about it on this end. Pretty quiet. Upcoming, we got our Taekwondo studio is doing a costume party, so my daughter will be going to that. I'm unsure if I'm going to hang out or if I'm going to let her just hang out. We'll see. And then preparations for Halloween. Probably some pumpkin carving this weekend. So that'll be good.
Need to finish my costume.
Yeah, you do. Your clock's kind of ticking. Yep. I mean, a week from Saturday and that's it.
I know.
Okay.
Well, he actually gets another chance next year.
Yeah. Unless he wins the lottery and moves to Roatan or something.
I would not be going to Roatan if I won the lottery.
Don't knock it until you've tried it.
It's supposed to be a beautiful island with like no tax because it's not It's not U.S. jurisdiction. It's part of, I think, technically Honduras.
Yes, it is.
It's supposed to be gorgeous, though.
Been there, done that.
Have you?
Yes.
Nice.
And it was very pretty.
I think I'd take a trip back down under. Because I think I would have a much more better time down there, being of age and able to better take in more of what's going on. Anyway,
like, that's don't touch the big spider.
If I mention spider, you're like, nope, I'm going to stay over here. All right, movies. We have four movies really to talk about. Actually, technically five. So we'll jump right into it. Number one this week is The Last Witch Hunter. This is sadly rated only 18%. PG-13, starring Vin Diesel, Elijah Wood, Rose Leslie, and Michael Caine. If Rose Leslie sounds familiar, she is Game of Thrones, Ygritte, the late Ygritte. The modern world holds many secrets, but the most astounding secret of all is the witches still live among us. Vicious supernatural creatures intend on unleashing the Black Death upon the world. Armies of witch hunters battled the unnatural enemy across the globe for centuries, including Calder, K-A-U-L-D-E-R. Sure. A valiant warrior who manages to stay the all-powerful Queen Witch, decimating her followers in the process. In the moments right before her death, the Queen curses Calder with her own immortality, forever separating him from the beloved wife and daughter in the afterlife. Today, Calder is the only one of his kind remaining, and has spent centuries hunting down rogue witches, all the while yearning for his long-lost loved ones. However, unbeknownst to Calder, the Queen Witch is resurrected and seeks revenge on her killer, causing an epic battle that will determine the survival of the human race.
Isn't that when the immortality kind of screws her over for that? I guess she'd have to lift the curse first.
Yeah, she wouldn't exactly be able to kill him if he's immortal. So there's that. I was really hoping for this when I saw some of the trailers, but sadly at 18%, probably going to have to pass on this one. Number two.
If it looks interesting, see it anyway.
We'll see.
Whatever the heck we saw, was I Frankenstein or something like that?
Yeah, but I Frankenstein, even though that may not have had the greatest critics, I liked that it was part of the Underworld writing group. I liked the grunge and the darkness of their writing style. And then it had Aaron Eckhart and Bill Nye in it, so it was enough to offset.
What was that movie with Vin Diesel? I can't remember what they were, but they were dark and gritty as well.
The Riddick movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those movies. Those are great.
Weren't those produced by him? And it looks like kind of the same stitch.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe I'll see it with the kid this weekend. It might be something that gets postponed. We'll see.
If you have nothing else to do.
That's right. Number two this week, we'll spend absolutely no time on this whatsoever. Steve Jobs, still at 85%. Okay, great. Moving on. Number three, if you're into horror and Blair Witch style film cinematography work, we have Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension. Rated R, obviously horror. You'll love the synopsis on this one, Wade. The Paranormal Activity series grows with the fifth entry from Paramount Pictures. That's it. That's all I tell you.
Concise.
Enough said. If that doesn't interest you, nothing
will. Pretty much. And if the fact that it's got zero critic rating as of today, that may or may not tell you something.
Pretty terrible.
Although 82% of viewers want to see it, according to Rotten Tomatoes. So,
See?
That's something. From an acting standpoint,
it's no one.
Exactly.
I know.
Another one
work.
That's kind of a disappointment from a critic rating. Again, one that was hopeful, Rock the Casbah. This is 9% on the tomato meter. It is rated R, and it is freezing my web browser right now.
That's how bad it is. The virus is infecting your computer when you look it up.
Oh, man. It's Bill Murray, among many others, I think. Scott Caan, Bruce Willis, Kate Hudson, Zooey Deschanel, to name a few. Rock the Casbah is the story of Ricky Vance, a has-been rock manager who takes his last remaining client on a USO tour of Afghanistan. When Ricky finds himself in Kabul, abandoned, penniless, and without his passport, he discovers a young girl with an extraordinary voice and manages her through Afghanistan's version of American Idol, the wildly popular Afghan star. I have been told, or I have heard, that this is a more or less the quintessential Bill Murray movie, much like Stripes, where he gets to kind of do his thing as he's been known for. So, again, kind of hopes for that at 9%, it may get shelved.
How the heck do you have, an Arabian American Idol?
It's called Afghan Star.
It's just like a bunch.
Like Afghans Got Talent.
Oh, God, that's even worse.
I'll let you imagine a few acts that might appear on that stage.
I'm thinking of, a burlesque show with women in burkas. It's like, this doesn't even work.
When I say leave a little bit up to the imagination, that's pretty much all up to the imagination.
That's
still
the show title. God.
All right. Last on the list, Gem and the Holograms. Again, no critic rating on this one. This is rated PG.
Really, really bad band name.
It's a really bad band name. Essentially, so here it goes. We'll see how much the website synopsis goes into it. Gem and the Holograms rock their way to the big screen in the live-action adaptation of the popular 1980s cartoon. Nashville star Aubrey Peoples takes front stage as Jessica Benton, a.k.a. Gem, with Stephanie Scott jamming the keyboards as Kimber. Aurora Perineau, something like that, slapping the bass as Shauna, and Haley Kiyoki on lead guitar as Aja. John M. Chu directs with script, blah, 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 production companies, who cares. So essentially this movie, from what I've heard on the trailers, is it's about these girls in a band who get web popularity, let's say through YouTube. They get a bunch of hits, they become web famous, and they take that web fame and try to get legitimate fame out of it. So that's kind of the general backstory there. But again, no critic rating at this point. So there's that. In the box office, we have Goosebumps pulling in $23.6 million, The Martian at $21.3, Bridge of Spies at $15.4 million, and Crimson Peak at $13.1. And without seeing anything of note, we move on to the news.
Exciting news this week. We're going to lead with a good story. Well, woo-hoo! Good for some people, anyway.
Oh.
We've covered the disappointing monstrosity that is Comcast and Charter and AT&T and various others. There is one bright spot on the ISP map, though, and that is the city of Chattanooga. City of Chattanooga successfully fought Comcast and others' lockdown and challenges. Comcast even went so far as to sue them in 2008, saying that they could not be their own internet service provider. However, City of Chattanooga won. It is run as a city utility, and in a big knock to the argument that if it was run by the government, there would be no innovation, this week City of Chattanooga announced that they will be upping the available bandwidth on their fiber network to 10 gigabits per second.
Sweet!
Now, it does come with a price tag. It is not free. It will be $300 per month.
Ouch.
Well, it's pretty steep, but that's like the top end. You don't have to get that. There are multiple tiers, speeds, and prices that you can go below that. But for those ultimate speed demons that have to have the biggest and fastest, maybe you run a couple game servers, you just want really, really fat bandwidth, for $300 a month, you can have 10 gigabit. To put that in perspective, that is faster than most home networks can handle.
That's pretty extreme.
That is way extreme. This will be for those few enthusiasts that actually know what's going on, because it's all well and good to have 10 gigabit to the house, and it's pointless if nothing inside the house can handle it.
Yeah, but if you got those people that are Bitcoin farming and all that sort of stuff that want fast, and like you said, they spend the money on fast enough components to be able to use it,
then more
power to them.
Absolutely. So this is going to be rolling out to 170,000 households in Chattanooga Electric Power Board area, service area. So congratulations to Chattanooga. Hopefully more municipalities take this as a playbook and stick it to the corporations. I'm not even saying the corporations have to go out of business. Let them compete, that's fine, but give us options.
Yeah, I mean, now if they want to be in that environment, they've got to have something that the people will want over what their city is offering them.
Exactly.
And that's all we've been talking about for a long time. Before we get too far away from the movie clip, I kind of forgot about this. I'm going to ask the question. I already know the answer. But the Star Wars trailer.
Yes.
You've seen it?
I have not.
What? Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is now over. The group has disbanded and will no longer be communicating at all. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
I have now gone through the deep internet and have put a hit out on Brad.
So if I don't see you next week, I know what happened. What'd that cost, by the way?
Let's see. It was a specific thing. So I asked him to kill him in a rice field with two small porcelain figurines. I believe the police will confirm this as the first ever knick-knack paddywhack.
Half up front, half when the job's complete. No, so apparently... The internet broke with this. It is quite a bit of material. Very little story given away. It's a lot of flashes. There's a little bit of kind of the line. The one major kind of dialogue in the trailer is they talk about they've heard stories about the past. And then it shows Han Solo saying it was all true. You don't really see Luke. Although there's a lot of talk on the internet that maybe you do, but it's unclear if that's him. But it looks fantastic. If you haven't gone and seen it, like Brad, you need to take yourself over to YouTube and pull it up. It's fantastic.
Working on it now, okay?
And it will be distracted for the next 2 minutes. Perfect.
Exactly.
So yeah, fantastic. Go see it. Maybe we'll link it in the show notes just for ease. Great. Moving on. Wade.
Ooh, continuing the Star Wars theme, the EA announced some new modes for the Star Wars Battlefront game, which include Fighter Squadron, Take to the Skies in a Dogfight, and some of the most memorable.
There you go.
There we go. God. I'm not even drinking.
That's I know.
The scary part.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Well. We will be.
And memorable vehicles such as the X-Wings, TIE Fighters, and the Millennium Falcon.
Nice.
Did the Millennium Falcon even have guns?
Yeah. They had turrets top and bottom.
Okay.
Remember when Luke was shooting and he goes, I got one. Great shot.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, that's one
in a million. Actually, the great shot, that was one in a million, I think, had to do with the Death Star. But There was definitely dialogue when Luke shot down a TIE fighter.
Then Supremacy, Rebels and Imperials fight for control of 5 key points in a tense 40-player clash on the largest maps. Cargo, a thrilling tug of war. I mean, you gotta get that thrilling in there.
You gotta be thrilling.
Yep.
Can't be boring tug of war. It's gotta be thrilling.
The capture the flag gameplay. However, if you gain a point, your enemies lose a point.
So there's a set amount of points in the better part of...
Correct. Droid Run. Sounds like an iOS game, but all right. 6 Rebels and 6 Imperials fight to capture and hold 3 GNK-powered droids.
Interesting.
These are the droids you're looking for, apparently. And nice. Walker Salt, which a lot of people have already played on the now ended beta. Blast, which is a classic team deathmatch. Drop Zone, which is a strategic fight for supplies kind of match. I mean, there was no description on that one. And then Hero vs. Villains, the most valiant heroes and cunning villains of the galaxy clash in the epic Star Wars battle mode. Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, Boba Fett, and other iconic characters team up with ground troopers. Keep your heroes and villains alive, do score points, and win the game.
And everybody's favorite, Jar Jar Binks.
I'm sorry.
Say that again, please.
Sorry, I meant nobody's favorite.
That is correct. Although you're not coming through very clear at the moment, unfortunately.
And finally, Hero Hunt. 7 Imperials against Luke Skywalker.
Nice. I have seen in some footage that Darth Vader does appear in battlefields. I have seen that people have spawned in as Luke.
It's
kind of a random deal.
It's your hero upgrade thing.
So if you reach a certain point, you can spawn in as a hero.
And 7 Rebels battling it against Boba Fett. All right. In the Hero Hunt, one player will experience the thrill of playing as an iconic Star Wars Battlefront hero or villain, facing off against ground troopers from the opposing faction. Want to play as the hero? Take them out. And you'll get your chance. But remember, once you become the hero, the hunt is on. So a lot of actually... There is a little more creative modes in this system. And plus the season pass is announced for this. You get the first 3 DLCs.
Sweet.
I actually wanted to play this, but I got into the beta too late. It was already closed. It's like, great.
When is this officially released?
No, this was just announcements, and they kind of had like a stress test server stuff.
Is the game itself, though, officially released?
No.
It's not. Interesting, because there's been a lot of coverage on it already.
Because there was a beta release that kind of like a stress test for the servers.
I understand.
So there you go.
Battlefront, whatever.
So how do you guys feel about the tickets for Force Awakens being on sale this early?
Yeah, I think that's a little interesting. I know that like the Hunger Games tickets are available now, but I mean that's coming out next month. This is a solid month and a half away. I think it's December 18th is the technical release date. Yeah, I think that's crazy. However, I was talking to a guy at work and he made a good point. You know, when you're going to see a movie like this, it's got this much buildup. I don't want to say hype here because I don't think it's hype. But this much buildup and this much fandom that if you are going to go see a movie like this on opening night, you almost owe it to yourself to go to a theater with reserved seating so you don't have to worry about fighting for a seat or waiting in a 2-hour line to get, the front row.
At this point, I think I'm fairly safe in guaranteeing that anybody listening to this podcast, if you haven't bought them already, you will not be seeing this movie on opening night.
Agreed.
Pretty sure that's sold out. If you didn't get it on, like, the night they were sold, you're done.
Well, they've been out for sale, I think, for 2 days now. We typically, we have a little tradition where we go see a movie on Christmas Eve, and this very well will probably follow suit with that.
It's already planned out.
And hopefully that'll be a good, you know, that's about 6 days after the release date, that hopefully some of the crowds will die down a little bit because everyone's going to rush in to see it right away.
I'm wondering. With the build up for this one, I'm wondering if days afterwards it still won't be packed.
It may be packed because I bet you're probably going to get a lot of people who see it multiple times.
Yep.
So, very good. The initial release date was for September 20th, 2004.
That's the old one. I know. They like renamed it and it's hard to.
Well, just do this. Star Wars Battlefront 2015.
Blink.
November 17th is the forecasted release date for this one.
There we go. That's the game, not the movie.
Yes. And quickly speaking about video games, if people haven't seen us tweet about it, it was pretty awesome. But the new Assassin's Creed game drops in like 2 days. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to get it on PC or whatever. But there's a group on Facebook called Man-at-Arms Reforged. And in the new Assassin's Creed game, the main character has essentially a cane sword or a cane dagger that you can buy as a collectible. Well, they sent these blacksmiths a copy of that, and they forged a full-on legitimate Damascus steel cane dagger that they are supposedly giving away. Their stuff is on Twitter. Yeah. Valerian, Damascus. It's kind of the same thing. But go to our Twitter. You'll see we favored it and retweeted that. So if you want your chance in that as well, go ahead and follow them and get your name in for the running. I really want it though. So if you cannot, put your name in the raffle, I'd appreciate it. Thanks. Bye.
Blast it all under when it's sent it to us.
Or when it's sent it to us, because you guys love us that much.
I've hurt my leg. I could really use a cane.
With a dagger.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. I have actually tried to kick a tin of bechamel sauce back into the fridge. Not a good idea.
Which leg did you hurt?
This one.
Where does it hurt? Where does it hurt?
That's all you're getting Tell me. From me.
So, all right, cool. Moving on. Brad.
We won't try that again.
Correct.
In this episode of Stupid People Ruin It for Everyone, the U.S. Department of Transportation has announced, details pending, that it will be seeking new rules surrounding the ownership and operation of unmanned aerial vehicles, drones.
Yes, I heard about this.
Whereby all drones, including the little ones that you just get for fun, everything will now require a license to operate and a registration.
Which makes me wonder how they're going to police that.
Well, yeah.
I have a couple ideas, but, you know, if a lot of these people have maybe multiple drones, right?
Sure.
What stops them from saying registering one and then just transferring the registration number on their own to the next one? I don't know if it's going to be a sticker or if they're going to do just a certificate you have to have with you that says that you're registered for, you know, drone category A, B, C, D or whatever.
Yep.
Who's going to manage it? Is it going to be an FAA? Is it going to be a third organization? All this stuff hasn't been vetted out yet. It's all just speculation by the people. Very, very interesting. And sadly, it's a result of the few ruining it for the many.
Unfortunately, it's more than the few we thought it was. The FAA says that drone incursions into airports around operating commercial aircraft have now escalated to about 100 a month.
Oh, that's ought to be interesting then.
Yeah. I feel bad for the model airplane pilots though.
Yeah, they're getting caught up in this.
Because they technically, unless they're really specific on how they qualify it, so far a drone is a remote-operated aerial vehicle. I mean, it's unmanned is what it stands for. So by that definition, a model airplane, regardless of how small, big, falls in that category, and they'll have to go through the same process. And again, I don't know if it's going to be, because a lot of people with model aircraft have more than one. You got to register every single one of them. How much is that going to cost? What are they, you know, what's involved? Sure. Or you're going to have people that just register one and just kind of move that over to whatever they're using at the time.
Yeah.
So.
Like you pointed out, the details are still to be worked out. I could see there being an incentive to license the pilot rather than the craft itself. Look, I'll go through training. Although they want... There won't have to be something on the craft itself, because part of this is being able to track down the pilot that's flying it if something goes wrong. You know, if you go somewhere you're not supposed to be and the law enforcement retrieves your craft, they want to be able to track who owns.
Like a VIN number or something like that.
Well, and that's just it, though, is none of these have any sort of a serialized number from a manufacturer. So they're going to require people to put a label on there or something. And again, you're only going to... The people that are going to get in trouble are going to be the ones that follow the rule. Because if someone who doesn't register their drone crashes it where it's not supposed to be, well, yeah, they're out the drone. But if they're never registered it with no identification, they're not really going to face any penalties because no one's going to know who they are. It almost is kind of like the whole gun control talk right now, you know?
Sure.
Punish the people following the rules and assume that everyone's going to follow the rules.
I don't think that means we shouldn't try, though.
No, I agree that maybe there needs to be some education involved. I just hope that this doesn't kill an industry.
I think it will kill the low end, but I'm not necessarily opposed to that.
See, and I disagree, because I think ignorance is bliss on the low end. People who buy a $35, $40, $50 ready-built small pocket drone out of a hobby store or Fry's or wherever aren't going to know that they have to do this and are probably not flying anything that small in an area to get in trouble. Those are more designed for indoor flight.
Unless it's under law that the store is required to express that you have to get this registered and whatnot.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if there's markings on the packaging.
Yep, that too.
Yeah, well...
Registration card included. Application form.
Yeah. Although, do either of you guys own, operate those little personal two-way radios?
No.
Okay, never mind then.
But stuff comes with those for you to register that you...
Correct.
Whatever.
Nobody does it.
And that's my point with this, is that nobody is going to do it. Okay, let me try to phrase this right. The people that know are going to resent it, but there's going to be a lot of people who aren't going to know. And so it's not going to get done. And the few that do it are going to be the ones that are penalized because they're the only ones that have followed through the steps and whatever. Now, the people that go through that effort probably aren't going to be flying in areas that they're not supposed to anyway, in which case they were never part of the problem to begin with.
True. Although this is getting enough publicity now. And it will be as this continues to evolve and get fleshed out, that you won't be able to claim ignorance.
Yes, but it's getting so much publicity now that people that were thinking, oh, well, I might want to get into that, are now going to hear this and go, yeah, maybe not. Because they don't want to deal with it.
Agreed.
So that's definitely the trade-off there.
So thanks, idiots.
Yeah. And like being in, I mean, I say I'm in the community. I'm not really in a community, but I read up on some of the community talks. And the general consensus is that it's typically the people that go to your Best Buy or your Fry's and buy the ready-to-fly kits ready to go, like the DJI Phantoms, like Best Buy's got one, whatever, like the Parrot drones where they can pull it up out of the box, charge it up, and go fly. The people that are building them or are looking to do, you know, aerial photography or even some of the FPV race stuff that are having to build them from scratch are spending a little bit more time and getting more intimate with the device and therefore, by osmosis, the community and the legalities of it.
I got it. You have to buy the drone, then you have to send in the registration to get the charger.
Or what some deals do with the technology they have out there and what they do with some of the racing is that you have a unique radio channel identifier. You can buy the drone, but you have to send in with your registration information to get the radio module that receiver will actually allow them to talk. Will you be able to buy something like that on Amazon? Probably. But, you know, it's really kind of iffy. I mean, you know, I don't know.
I don't know if there is a clean way to do this, but we got to do something because the idiots are ruining it for everyone.
Yeah, but again, my problem with it is only the people that are aware they need to register will register, but those people that know they will need to are also the ones that understand the laws and don't want to put people in harm's way. It's the people who will buy them out of the box, will not know any different, will go fly it where they're not supposed to, will crash it where they're not supposed to, and there's still no tracking. The only other way around it that I see is that at time of purchase, they have to fill something out that gets submitted to an organization. That's the only other way.
Well, that may not be a bad idea.
So, anyway, yeah, definitely a hot topic right now on the web. I think they said, what, another couple months before they really figure out how they're going to go about it?
Yeah, they're hoping to have rules by... And I just saw it. Why can I never find it again? June 2016.
Got it. Okay. Well, from drones to a drone enthusiast and, well, known for many, many other things, Adam Savage and his partner Jamie Heineman are, well, they're not necessarily calling it quits, but they're saying that the well-loved Mythbusters show will be coming into an end after this upcoming 14th season. The show began in 2003. Per Entertainment Weekly, Jamie and Adam sat down and they said what they have planned for the final season, although no details were expressed in the article I found. The show will begin in January and will be over the 2016 year. The show as a whole has filmed over 25,000 hours over 248 episodes. So that's a lot of cutting room floor material.
Absolutely.
According to Jamie, he said, "We felt like we've had a really strong material for the whole run. It's been 14 years, and it's just time. We want to go out on a strong point." He said, "We've tried to go as deep as possible into the things we're doing and gave them the respect and care that they deserved." The original cast members, including Carrie Byron, Grant Imahara, and Tori Belleci, left the show right before the 10th season, and it's unclear on if they will return for the final. Again, season starts January 9th. And it got me thinking after reading this that this is probably big time due to the cable cutters and, as we talked a couple weeks ago, the never cablers. Those of us who have never paid for TV licensing isn't the word, but a package, channel package.
Sure.
Because Adam did say that they are mindful of their ratings and they have seen a change. And you know, it's just probably at a point now where they're not getting enough views to really make it happen anymore.
Which is sad because, you know, I would rather see a lot of other stuff not on TV.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. When I catch Mythbusters, I absolutely love it every time. You know, and I'm sure a lot of it's on the streaming stuff, you know, available to watch whenever. But that doesn't help a show continue that's current. The streaming stuff is great for stuff that's out of series, out of whatever, out of production. But it doesn't do anything for the ones that are still active. So that's kind of the downer.
It's getting harder and harder for people, for TV to hold people's attention when, heck, you can just go online.
It's not the TV's fault. It's this. It's the method of the delivery. The means of acquiring it is really the issue.
And the fact that the cable giants, the media giants, have not kept up with distribution methods, let's say.
Yes.
You know? Look, we want to watch your content. Guess what? Most of us are even prepared to pay for it. Take our money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the way of delivering it is so
archaic.
Yes.
Draconian.
Get with the times.
Yep. Well, it's kind of funny because I had to hit up Costco on the way home tonight. And they, you know, a lot of the stores now have a representative from one or two of the major media distributors. In this case, it was somebody with DirecTV.
Yep.
You know, and you have to walk by them because they're standing right at the opening and they ask you how you're doing and they ask you who you're with. And sometimes I will say their company so I don't have to talk to them anymore. Oh, I'm already with DirecTV. You know, you guys are great. And I keep walking even though it's a lie. But today he's like, oh, who you guys with through the cable, Cox? Oh, how come? Because they offer me faster internet than you can and I'd rather stick with all one company. Thanks, bye.
Shots fired.
Because that's really the only reason why we have Cox is because we want the internet. The TV service we have is actually very, very minimal. We get HBO and local channels and Stars, and that's it. Because we want our Game of Thrones. We like our local channels, and we need our internet. And that's pretty much the priority level.
So, I tell you the other way we used to shut them up. Yeah, we could save you a bunch of money, you know, if you'd switch to our company. Really? How much money could you save me? Oh, well, how much are you paying for your TV right now? Nothing.
Yep.
Oh. You don't have TV? Well, no, we have TV. We have this old-fashioned thing called an antenna. We get it all for free.
Yeah? So what are you offering me again?
Yeah. So how much can you save me? Oh.
Yeah.
You'd be paying me to use your service.
Yeah. How about I'll market for you and you can pay me as a marketing cost? No? Nope. You no, you don't like that? Oh, no, okay. No. Bye.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. So that was funny. But yeah, it's not it's definitely not the show's fault. It's the fact that people are no longer willing to pay the cable provider's prices in order to get the channels when we can get it on Hulu or whatever, and we have access to what we want to watch for the most part.
Okay, so slight correction there. The problem is it's not available how we want. If you're paying for Hulu, then you're paying for the show. The money, Hulu is actually a conglomeration of major media companies to make their shows available online, but they've made such a mess of it that nobody wants to use it. So it's if you're paying for it through Hulu, then that's fine. You're still supporting the show. The problem is Hulu's a mess. Cable's a mess. Satellite's a mess. We want to watch this show. We want to pay for this show. Again, take my money. I want to watch.
Yeah.
But not your way.
Well, I think part of the problem, too, is the whole rating systems for shows. Not the rating in terms of, for our viewers' mindset, the content rating, but the viewership rating. How many people are tuning in to watch the show? And I don't know if they've updated their system to account for Hulu views over the past week. Probably for that particular episode or not. And if they're not, then obviously they're not getting a clear picture as to which shows are really doing well and what's not. Because, mm-hmm. again, people are not spending money for their cable service anymore. We'd rather spend $8 for Hulu or, you know, find it under maybe more nefarious means and watch whatever we want, how we want to watch it.
But, yeah, but the odd thing about the nefarious means
is it's HBO, spawned out of need.
Well, I was going to say, HBO proved that if you make it available reasonably, people want to pay for it.
Yep.
Game of Thrones was the most pirated show until HBO... I'm trying to remember. HBO Go is if you already have it through cable. So HBO Now. When they launched HBO Now, the piracy rates dropped. People want to pay for it.
No, it's the same thing with video games. It's you really see more of the pirated games in places where you can't legally get them.
Yep. So, yep, that's that. MythBusters is going away. But you can still keep up with Adam on some of his other stuff through their tested YouTube page. He does things like one day builds and podcasts and showcase and that kind of stuff. Very fun to watch. So tune over to those guys too for more Adam. Jamie, less involved.
Yeah, I wonder if the tours are going away because they do tours at the moment as well.
They did. Like, I know they did one near us a couple of years ago. We went to the place in which it was conducted, but didn't pay the extra money to see that particular show. We didn't know it was going on. We happened to be there, and it's like, oh, well, that's cool.
But that might be worth seeing before it goes away.
Yep. I know their tested show, the tested YouTube page, they're starting to do live shows of that. So, awesome. They have one coming up either this month or next month, I think, in the San Francisco area where they're based out of. So,
there's that. Oh, and that might be enough to, keep me satisfied. I like Jamie. Nothing against him. But Adam is definitely my favorite.
Yeah, Jamie's drier, definitely knowledgeable. Once you understand that there is humor there and a very dry delivery, yeah. He is one to watch out for. But Adam is definitely the character and is definitely funny on the surface. You know, you have to dig very deep for that.
Yep.
So, very good. Wade, why don't you wrap us up with one?
All right. Coming in from the StarCraft II esports and the scandal within. 12 people have been arrested in Korea for match fixing. Now, as I'm not too sure on what this occurs, I believe my co-host can do that for me.
Well, I would imagine match fixing is much like insider trading in the stock market, only in the video game thing, or somebody in the sports venue throwing a game, intentionally striking out, intentionally losing for the benefit of maybe a bet or somebody that they know or whatever. I would imagine it's got something to do with that.
Yeah, at least in physical sports, if it's match fixing is generally when you pay a player to lose.
Yep.
Because you've got a bet against them.
You artificially, or you not necessarily artificially, but you adjust the odds of the outcome of the game through outside of the game itself.
Yep, and I'm going to clarify here, it's in South Korea, so not North. Probably think North Korea really wouldn't.
I don't think they're playing a lot of video games in North Korea, and if they are, it's probably not a public sort of situation.
The North Korean team won, both of them, mm-hmm. at the same time.
So, anywho, total of 12 individuals in the pro... Esports. Both of them
at the same time, because they are that awesome.
You gonna let Wade finish? Okay, good.
Esports Team Prime have been inducted for illegal betting related to fixing matches, including the coach, Geralt, as players Bing Bong Bing Bong and Yoda. Oh, come on, we all know how he fixes the game. He uses the Force. Oh, you want to click on that unit? Too bad.
Yeah, no. keep reading there.
Oh, come on. Sticking with the Star Wars theme. So, and apparently they have found some the evidence of which five matches have been tampered with. One of them being, the next one being RO16 versus Life or TY. Next, third one being RO4 and DRG.
What was the first one again?
That'd be Bing Bong, B-Bong, P-Bong, and versus Flash.
Okay.
Third one being RO4 and DRG, which we just did. Next one, RO32 and BBYONG. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that one.
Okay. Well, the and player names aren't that important, really, yeah, are they?
These are the matches that were affected with with fixing. With the throwing games. So, in addition to criminal charges, gaming is heavily legislated in South Korea. The Korean Esports Association, KESPA, have banned the coach, and the two players, B-Bong, Big-Bong, and Yoda, from participating in the KESPA events for life. So they're permabanned.
So typically what happens in a situation like this when it comes to fixing is that, like horse racing, there's probably odds placed on the players. One person has a higher likely to win versus the other one. And typically, or not even typically, the rule of betting is if someone has a better chance of winning, the amount you can, when you bet on that, they pay out a lower percentage than the underdog. So what was probably happening here is people were betting heavy on the underdog and paying off the projected victor to throw the match so that they would win more on bets, and that would be considered a fixed match.
And apparently the winnings could come up to $11,000 per match.
It's not, I mean, that's a fair amount of money, but that doesn't sound like an ungodly amount of money.
That's not jail time kind of money.
Doesn't, I mean, I wouldn't be willing to do something, you know.
Ew.
Not for 11 grand. 11 million? Well, yeah. How can we make this work? But, yeah, that's interesting. That sounds like a lot of headache for not a lot of payout.
That's right, people. We're just figuring out his price.
That's right. We all have a price. Mine has a lot of zeros at the back of it.
So, I mean, this is a good and bad thing. It's, you know, bad that it happened, but good that people are actually taking such a serious game, esports, so serious to do it.
Well, we know that the betting on esports is a thing because it was just DraftKings that said they were going to start doing it.
Well, I mean, not just betting, but actually trying to fix matches.
Profit to be made, you're always going to have people that are going to try to cheat the system one way or the other. And when it comes to betting, and you can try to fix the match, that's what people are going to try to do.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, yeah, I don't think this has anything to do with esports specifically. But it was an esports game that was being played, and somebody decided to fix it. And that's where the trouble comes.
That's where they went wrong.
We say fix, we mean break.
Yes, exactly.
Very good. Well, that about does it for us. We want to thank you once again for listening. We do appreciate it. And remind you to see us on Twitter at Abundance Knot. Do follow us there. We are currently up in the neighborhood of 410 followers. So thank you for our new followers there. And we are about 90 away from our $50 giveaway. So do share us with your friends, and we'll get that going. See us on Facebook, facebook.com/abundance.not. Like us over there and keep in contact. And then, Wade, you got your Twitter at?
AON Seawall. So, leave me there.
That's 599, right?
No, I don't think so.
I think it might be.
As our interns check that, my offer still stands. If we do get to 500 followers before Halloween, and I'll do this. I guess it would be before, but at 12 a.m. November 1st, If we have more, if we have 500 followers with that, I will stream SCP Containment Breach, and I am set up ready to do that. So
that would be 12 a.m. Pacific time.
Yes. Yes. Actually, we'll go 12 p.m. p.m. a.m.
a.m.
So Hawaiian time.
Be midnight.
Yes.
We'll go Hawaiian time. We'll give everyone an extra 3 hours. No one's left out.
Okay. It still
wouldn't
stands.
That would be 3 a.m. your time.
I didn't say he would do it at midnight, did I? Did he?
That's what he's saying. I will stream at midnight.
No, what I'm saying is that we have to have 500 followers by that time.
And then he will do a stream of the game, but not at that time.
Yeah.
I'm glad we clarified, because I heard that as you're going to start streaming at midnight.
Oh, I'm pretty sure the other members of the household will not find that enjoyable.
Yeah, that won't go down well. No. Nope. Very good. Anything on your end, Brad, before we bid thee goodbye?
Negative.
All right. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.